All right, there is a big event coming up at Billy Corgan's Madame Zuzu's in Highland Park the weekend of October 18th through the 20th, celebrating Bozo Circus all weekend long, featuring special appearances, artifacts, exhibits, fun, food, and more, including the iconic grand prize game. And also a quick mention, the Smashing Pumpkins are taking their World as a Vampire tour to Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, Costa Rica, and more, really a couple weeks after this event, and they have a new album out too. And to talk about it all, it's Billy Corgan in studio. Billy, welcome in. Great to see you.
Always a pleasure to be here.
And the first thing I brought in here was the Bozo drum to put behind you, and it turns us into kids again.
I totally geek out because that's the very drum I saw them hitting on the way out the door when, you know, the Bozo would always sort of go into the last march and off they'd go. And as soon as they strut off camera, you know, that was the end of that. But such vivid memories. And of course, anybody that was there, either watching every day like my brother and I did, or actually got to go to the show, which, as you know, is the all-time, you know, it was up there with getting a benediction from Jesus, you know, and it was like, it was really hard to get on that show. And I happened to go on my 11th birthday, so I know the exact date, March 17th, 1978, my goodness.
I went in 78, and I think it was Frazier there at that point. Was Ned retired at that point?
I feel like it was Ned.
Okay, so maybe it was just before
he
left.
I feel like it was Ned.
Yeah.
But I can't, you know what I mean? It's like, it's you know, I was just with Mary Lou Henner the other day, who has perfect memory retention, you know? You know, another great Chicagoan. And you know, I wish I had that memory, because I wish, it's like one of those things where I just wish I could recall every ounce of that hour I was in that studio, because it was so important
to me. You are so right. And I was going to say, when I've been involved with the Broadcast Museum 20 years and over 20 years. And at some point a few years back, my mother's like, you know, I have pictures and buttons and the ticket stubs and stuff from the show.
I'm like,
what? like I've been working on this for years.
How can you do this to me?
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, we are exactly the same age, and we both grew up with this. But share, you know, what this character means to you. I mean, it was, you know, every day at noon, we came home from school, summertime, you were sick. It was Bozo on the air.
Well, I think what I understand now in hindsight is we were not only blessed with 5 hours of original television programming voiced for us as children, and it was always, there was a personal touch to Bozo's show. I can't speak for any other Bozo in any other town, and obviously there were many, but of course, because of the superstation status eventually of WGN on television, the Bob Bell Bozo is the one that stands at the top of that particular mountain. But the other thing that really strikes me is we had a truly incredible cast of talent.
Absolutely.
So we had this world-class talent basically performing for us as kids 5 days a week live.
Yeah, that's right.
And one quick thing on the day I went, I assumed that the day I went in 1978 was live like every other show. Well, it turns out they were taping that day because there was a Notre Dame game or something.
Oh, okay.
So months later, I'm sitting at home, you know, eating my lunch, and boom, there's the show I was on. So I actually got to see
the
show
rare.
I was there for, and I saw me in the audience. So I had this kind of meta experience.
Absolutely.
But you do remember this, because you certainly know your Bozo better than I do. But I remember, tell me I'm wrong, but like you'd be watching the show on a Wednesday, and it'd be like, oh my God, it's Sammy Davis Jr. And like, Sammy Davis would waltz on and be like, hey, kids, and be like, what? Like,
well, you know, you've been to TV. There's like pictures of the Jackson 5.
That's what I'm saying. Like, big celebrities would waltz in, and you're just like your little kid. You're like, oh, my God, it's, you know, it's the Jackson 5. Oh, you know.
I think there were some things people were guests of Donahue, and they kind of wandered into the Bozo studio, right?
I feel like I saw Bobby Vinton a couple times, you know, the Polish prince. God bless, you know. Yeah. So it felt so special, and again, in hindsight, I think it was even more special than it felt to us. It wasn't just a personal thing.
True.
That was our kiddie show. And you know, I've had different discussions with GN through the years, and obviously part of that was the rights issue, but I could even say it out loud here since I'm commanding the airwaves. I would love to bring live children's television back to WGN. I've certainly pitched it to him a couple times. I know there's lots of business reasons why it sort of doesn't work, but maybe, you know, maybe that there will come a point where it will work again as we enter this new era of digital streaming and stuff like that.
The Harmon folks weren't the easiest, at least, you know, Larry Harmon, to do those types of things. But I think David's a lot more open to doing something.
But even, and listen, we're here to talk about Bozo, but even if at the end of the day it was just bringing, nothing against Bozo the franchise, because again, I'm here to pay fealty to it. It's an incredible thing. It's the most, honestly, it's probably the most famous clown name in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So, and it's ours. I mean, I think it's to Chicagoans, it's so personal.
Yeah.
And you and I were talking about it just before we went on there. When you meet someone who grew up on Bozo like we did, they're like, it's instant. It's like a three-dimensional 10-minute conversation, yeah, right from the heart.
Yeah.
So it's very personal to Chicagoans. But as a parent of young children 8 and 6, I would love to see that type of programming come back, programming just voice for children and that sort of live anarchy. I think it's certainly something that's missing from the broadcast sphere these days. I know we live in a complicated world and there's lots of agendas and things going on, but at the end of the day, just good family fun, I think, never gets old.
And that's what it was. And, you know, very much like it, I compared to Curb Your Enthusiasm, they had an outline and they won it because they all had this vaudevillian nature about all of them. They knew that, and they got to know each other and timing and everything, but they kind of flew with that.
Well, there were also days where you got the feeling that, I don't want to pick on any particular clown, but you got the feeling like they'd rather be somewhere else that day. And there was a certain edge to the comedy.
Yeah.
I don't want to say darkness, but it felt like, whoa, what's happening today on the Bozo show? Like, you kind of tune in every day not knowing which version of Bozo or Cookie or Wizzo you were going to get.
Well, they were talking over our heads. I mean, there was a lot of things that were geared toward the adults in the audience everywhere.
Yeah. We could just go on forever. It's such a great memory.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said you're 11 years old. I think I went when I was 11 years old, but it's a 10-year wait. So you must have gotten tickets when you were 1 year old, because that's what you had to wait for.
To be fair, it was our Aunt Phyllis who got them. She did the classic. She put the ticket order in the day her kid was born.
Right.
And so we were lucky enough to go. And I say this for Chicagoans because we grew up in a very, you know, we still are a very, you know, ethnically diverse city. And I had Aunt Phyllis's mother was, you know, this incredible Italian woman, but she had those nails that were about eight inches long.
Yeah.
And you know when they would do the thing where they're looking for the arrows?
Yes.
So again, I'm back in my kitchen. I'm watching me on the Bozo show.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm disappointed because I already know via the magic of videotape that I'm not going to get to play the grand prize game.
Yeah.
But in the going around with the camera, at some point they settle on my step aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And like almost like a horror movie, she kind of throws the nails up in her face like ah, and you see it. I don't know where it is. Maybe it's in the ether somewhere, but it's this like a classic horror shot. And I think they did it on purpose.
Uh-huh. They did. I think what they did, these camera guys, is they would always, when they were coming back from a commercial, it would be on a pretty mom coming back. Seriously.
Yeah, she was an attractive woman.
Yeah.
But she instinctually threw the nails up in front of her face, kind of like a something out of a Hitchcock movie.
Yeah.
So that's an enduring memory, too.
I love it. We're talking to Billy Corgan, his Bozo the Clown weekend event at Madame Zuzu's is in Highland Park, Friday, October 18th through Sunday, October 20th. For tickets and more information, visit MadameZuzu's.com. All right, we are talking to Billy Corgan, his Bozo the Clown weekend event at Madame Zuzu's in Highland Park, Friday, October 18th through Sunday, October 20th. For tickets and more information, visit MadameZuzu's.com. On your screen, when you walked in, you said, this was the Bozo, this was the cast I grew up with. And it was really the 70s cast, because that's when we were really consciously watching this show.
Sure, yeah.
Right? And Cookie, of course, who came in after Ray Rayner left. And one of my favorites, and became good friends with him, I love him, is the late Marshall Brodeen. What a sweet, funny guy.
Yeah, I got to know Marshall a little bit because Marshall was still alive when I did the last Bozo show.
Right.
You know, and I got to talk to him a couple times afterwards. And, you know, he was such a gracious guy, and he told me indomitable?
Yes.
One of those voices.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you should really come to the house. And I was I'm actually naturally shy. No one believes that about me because I'm such a weirdo in life. But he invited me to the house to see his kind of collection. His
basement.
You know, yes, the famous basement.
Yeah.
And talking to Marshall Jr., who I've gotten to know through time, and actually did our Christmas show last year as Wizzo Jr., he's like, oh, you should, same voice, you should have come to the house, you know? you would have been welcome at the house.
It was Riverview. It was his magic.
Yeah.
And then a little bit of Bozo.
It's cool. We made contact with the family that owns the Magic Castle in L.A.
Yeah.
My wife loves the Magic Castle. We'll go there every once in a while.
Yeah.
And if you go to the late one of the family's personal houses, they have like a little bit of a quasi museum in this like 1920s estate where they used to do private magic shows. I don't know if you've ever heard about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's legendary in LA. And she took me in the office with all these posters of the past. And it was so cool. There was a poster of Marshall.
Oh, I love that.
Because he was a nationally recognized.
Yes, he was. You know,
I think for us, he was our guy again.
But he was ours.
But he was a nationally recognized famous magician, which is really, really cool to know. Because here he is 5 days a week on local kids television being Wizzo for us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with the Stone of Zanzibar and
TV magic cards. And then he was making magic games for Siegfried and Roy. I mean, his name was behind all that
stuff.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
Brilliant business guy.
Hey, you know, it's like the magic didn't end at the show.
That's very true. You know, the character Bozo turns 80 in 2026, so we're that close. And next year, WGN's Bozo turns 65, which we've talked about and get you involved in that, too. It was Alan Livingston that created the character for Capitol Records, right?
Right.
And then Larry Harmon comes along, and he's kind of the Ray Kroc of McDonald's, comes
sure.
in and says, I'm pulling that in, and I'm going to make this much bigger. And there were over 200 local stations at its peak.
It's mind-boggling to consider.
It is, but, you know, it's the soup. Well, first of all, it was the cast. They did it in such a way. We're talking about the massive orchestra that was there from the beginning. But then, you know, you're talking about the Superstation that came on in 78, and that's what put Bozo, Tom Skilling, and the Cubs all across America on the map.
Yeah.
You know?
God bless. You know, that's why as we go around the world and, you know, people find out we're from Chicago, and invariably the subject of Bozo comes up.
Yeah.
Most people understand that our local Bozo is the Bozo that they knew because it's a similar
very
age
true.
Group.
Very
Saw
true.
Me people from Atlanta and Dallas, and they're like, oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Because that's why I thought Joey Diore, I can never say his name right.
Diore,
God bless him. I thought he did a fantastic job.
He did.
But Bob,
big shoes to fill.
No joke. I mean, because it's like one of those, like, it's like thinking of a Taxi Driver without De Niro, right?
It's kind of true.
It's hard to imagine Bozo without Bob Bell.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so definitive in the role.
Yeah.
And I don't know enough about Mr. Bell's story, but I got the feeling maybe later, and you know more than I do, but I always got the feeling that maybe he felt like he missed out on a greater opportunity because he was that talented.
I don't think it was that. First of all, he never did any appearances really outside, maybe a parade here or two, but he only did it in studio, and he went home, and when you talk to Jeff Bell, I mean, he was dad. You know, go take out the garbage and do whatever, but I just think he felt like he had his run. He did it, think about it. That was a very long time, 1960 to 1984, and at some point you want to enjoy your retirement, which he did for about 15
years.
Sounds
like me and the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, right.
That's right. Exactly. I tell my son sometimes, like, hey, you know, he's 8 going on 9. I'm like, about 16, 17, you can take over the franchise. I'm good. I'm out, you know?
I'm done from there. So let's talk about that first night, because that is the opening night event, and that's on the 18th. I will be there, but it's an evening of the stars, you call it, and you'll be there, of course. David Arquette, Joey Diore is coming in for this, Jeff Bell, Bob's son, Andy Matran, Professor Andy.
Marcy Harmon.
Yeah, Marcy's coming in, too, and then George Pappas from WGN TV, and hosted by Dean. Our own Dean Richards.
Yeah, so gracious of Dean to be involved and host. I sent Dean an email and I said, please host so I don't have to, you know, because Dean's so good at his job.
Well.
He is that guy.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. I think it's going to be a really beautiful, warm night of reminiscence. And then I'm just as excited about the second day because it's really about kids and families.
It is.
And we're going to try to do our best to kind of recreate that atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to explain to my wife, who's a little younger than me, she's 32 years old. I said to her, look, you're going to have a lot of kids coming in. And when they see those grand prize game buckets, or the Bozo buckets, whatever they're called these days.
Grand prize game.
When they see that game, every kid is going to want to play.
Absolutely.
So I'm warning you right now
because
she's going to do it like you got to kind of win to be able to, you know, just like you did on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Not everybody got to do it.
No.
And I'm still scarred because I didn't get to do it. And whenever in life I'd meet someone who actually did play.
You just want to,
you know, you just meet somebody and you start talking about Bozo. It's like, oh, I was on that. Did you win the bike? No, but I got to bucket four and, you know, I threw left I'm 45 years old and I have grand prize game envy. It's like unbelievable because year after year I watched that show and thought, I could do it. I could do it. I want to win that bike.
Yeah.
And again, not just any bike, a Schwinn.
A Schwinn bike.
God bless.
The buckets will be there. Yeah, but I love that you're doing the Schwinn as well. So there's going to be museum exhibits. So we're bringing the Bozo drum that started the show. We're bringing for the costumes, which are really iconic. I mean, and fragile, I will say, too. But Bob Bell's costume and his wig and Joey Deoria's. And we're going to bring cookies because it's just so recognizable. Yeah. And since Andy's going to be there, we'll have Andy's there as well.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
We're blown away. Thanks for your help on all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot for us to process because, you know, it starts with an idea. We called David Arquette. Hey, I got this crazy idea.
Yeah.
And it starts with, hey, maybe we'll just do a thing and have a Bozo day. And then it turns into the Bozo weekend. And then it turns into, you know what I mean?
But when you say to David, I got this crazy idea, he's all in already.
Oh, yeah. David's no problem on that.
Yeah. And this is a time 2-hour thing. So, you know, bring the family for that. That is Saturday and Sunday. But, you know, you love magic and you have an illusionist and mentalist that's going to be there.
Yeah, Shim Shi, who my wife hired to come to my bachelor party.
Okay. That's awesome.
So it was a surprise. I didn't know. It was a surprise bachelor party. So I walked into a restaurant spare room. And so all my friends are there.
And I love it.
Because she knew I didn't want to have the traditional bachelor party. I'm a little past that arc. And she had hired Shim Shi, who flew in from Vegas. And, I mean, it blew my mind to see a magician of this level.
Amazing.
He's been the, I think, staff magician of the Wynn
Casino in Vegas.
I mean, he's like the house musician, a magician. It's the problem with being a musician. It's like the words will go together. But so I think it says a lot about my wife that she said, look, we're going to do this. It's going to be amazing. The reminiscence on day one, families on day two and three. And of course, David's going to do his class, doing the Bob Ross painting class.
He's certified to do that.
By the way, that thing sold out immediately.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
I mean, right now he's outpacing Bozo. So, in terms of draw. But she said, look, as cool as this is, because I told her about like Sammy Davis and those people showing up on the show, she wanted a world class artist to be part of this celebration because she felt that was befitting of the tradition. So, even if you're not a Bozo fan, which is hard to believe if you're a Chicagoan, but even if you're not, to see a world-class magician up there on the North Shore, that's a pretty rare rare event.
I love that. You know, you were talking about being on the last show. That must have been surreal because I remember it aired on my birthday in July, and I went out and I taped it because I haven't even thought about that show really much in 20 years, and I sat down with a drink and watch that whole thing, and you just get so emotional and listening to the music and the voices of these people. It must have been just surreal for you to be there.
Well, let me tell you a little inside story. So the day I was at the show, March 17th, 1978, they did a skit. I guess if you're in the crowd, I guess on television it would be to the right, but if you're in the crowd, it was to the left. Well, they did a skit, and I don't remember the nature of it, but Wizzo was involved, Cookie was involved. And there was some sort of explosion that was supposed to happen. Kind of like a time thing, and then something blows up. Well, they overpacked the explosive. So when it went off, Bob Bell was like, oh my God, and like for real. Like he had an immediate reaction.
Wow.
And you could tell from the staff, they all kind of ran around like, what just happened?
Yeah.
It was borderline dangerous, happened.
Yeah, sounds like
so
it.
As I was leaving, as you know, you get marched out. What was the line they would say and they'd march you out?
It's time. Okay, boys and girls, it's time for our grand march. And they'd blow the whistle and those would get moving.
So when we were doing the grand march out, I went over to look at the floor and it was scorched and there was a hole in the floor.
Oh my God.
Okay. So when I did the last show in 2001. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah,
I can't believe it's that long ago.
Yeah.
So I'm in the studio.
Yeah.
And I went and looked, and there the hole is still in the floor. They'd never fixed it.
Can I tell you the props that are still there? There's stuff at WGN Morning News that like Paul uses his little desk for his courtesy desk and stuff. There's a cooking desk that's thrown in. It's Ray Rayner's desk, painted black. I mean, that's what they used to do.
Yeah,
God bless
those guys. And we should pay a quick tribute to Ray Rayner.
Yeah,
you know, just such a cool show. Who was the gentleman with the ducks? It was
Well, it was Ray with Chelveston.
Right, but it was the
Frazier Thomas.
God bless. Because we all watched all those shows, too.
Yeah, we did.
God bless that. Whoever put that block of talent together, because I didn't have the best childhood, but those memories are very rosy in my mind.
Yeah.
There was something about the warmth and the familiarity.
That pulled you in.
And of course, the creepy cartoons. I don't know, the like 1947 cartoons. I don't know where GN got them for free.
We watched them. Yeah, something like that. Something like that, for sure. We're talking to Billy Corgan. His Bozo the Clown Weekend event at Madame Zuzu's in Highland Park, Friday, October 18th through Sunday the 20th. Tickets and more info, visit MadameZuzu's.com. So within a couple weeks of this event, Pumpkins are back on the road again and heading to Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, Costa Rica. How cool is that?
It's amazing. The band's as successful as we've been probably since like the mid-90s, which kind of blows our mind. For people who don't know, we're at least three quarters intact from the original band, which is pretty hard to do with everything that we put ourselves through and our audience. And what's even crazier is we just did this Green Day tour, stadium tour.
Yes.
We played Wrigley Field, Fenway, the new SoFi Stadium in L.A., 50,000 people. If you'd asked me before we did that tour, I would assume most of the audience would have been 40-plus because that's the generation that grew up listening to us, right? No, 25-year-olds, 18-year-olds. It was like we were back in the day again, and the audience was young again. So I don't know what magic trick has been pulled there. And of course, I want to give credit to Green Day. They're having an incredible moment themselves. Mm-hmm. But we just came off a European tour. It was exactly the same in Europe.
That's amazing.
So whatever's happening with young people, let's call it spirited rock and roll music, it feels new to them again, or maybe they're just sick of all the pre-processed pop
music. That's
something's
out there right
happening.
Now. Yeah,
and the fact that we're in the middle of that feels really, really wonderful. And so we're super grateful. And so you see us, here we go, around the world again.
I love that. I will say I saw you at Wrigley, and then I saw Stevie Nicks and Billy Joel at Soldier Field, and I thought for sure it was going to be my age and way up. And no, looking around, walking through,
crazy, right?
Somethings, because it's great music. Pumpkins, great rock and roll.
Well, there's a lot of stick going around for the streaming services because of the way the business model works. But if you can set aside that, which for most musicians they can't, but if you can set it aside, it's doing something to democratize young people's listening.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I grew up in Chicago. Who'd I just see down the hall? You know, John Records Landecker.
I know.
Who I used to call.
I know.
By the way, I used to call him live on the radio and prank call him when I was like eight. So we always have a good laugh about that because that really happened because I listened to him incessantly. But the point is Chicago radio at that point had a great diversity of rock and roll music. And so you kind of found what you liked. You know, one station had AC/DC, one station had the Cars,
right.
Pretenders, whatever. And I think what young people are doing is they're finding their own version of rock and roll again. And it's shocking as this pop has become so fake, isn't even the word. It's become almost something that's unrecognizable to me.
Processed, very processed.
Whatever. Yeah. And look, the top ones do it really, really well. But when you get to the middle tier, it gets really, really dicey. Like, who's singing and am I even looking at AI here? Something about just the rough edges of rock and roll is saying to young people, okay, I can kind of trust the messaging here. These people are singing their songs to me. So I can't believe we're here because, you know, for 20 years, all I heard from people in the record business was, you got to play your old albums, you got to wave this flag, and if you don't, well, they're just going to kick you out the side door. And that seems to have ended now.
Right, and you have a new album out that came out in August, which speaks to that.
It's probably our best received album in over 20 years. Usually people don't like our records, and then later they do. So this is one of those ones they actually like. No, we've had a long-standing thing where if we hit it right on the mark and we sort of give people what they think they want from us and we're feeling good and progressive about it, that's when we've had our biggest albums, and this sort of ranks in there. But usually we're either too ahead of our time or too behind the time. We somehow get off sequence, and then people really punish us for that for whatever reason. And then 10 years later, it's a classic, and I can't. You know, and they're yelling at me because they want me to play songs that 10 years before they were yelling at me for playing.
Yeah, right. that's awesome. And the LP, I love this. It's out digitally, but the black vinyl comes out November 22nd. Great gift for the holiday season.
Yeah, Madame Zuzu's, we do direct retail as well, .com. So we have a special edition with two extra songs.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm not sure if we have any copies left. That would be my wife's question. But yeah, then the real, the normal consumer version, 10 songs, comes out at all the record stores and all the typical, you know, Amazons of the world here in a hot second.
Very, very cool. And are Chloe and the kids hitting the road with you?
They do at different times. Here's how you know you have rock and roll children. we were pulling up to MetLife Stadium with you know, the Green Day tour, mm-hmm. probably 40,000+ that day. My daughter, who's now 6 but was then 5, looks out the window and goes, "How many people are here, Daddy?" I said, "You know, over 40,000. And they always get on stage and dance. She's like, "Okay. What time am I going on stage?"
I love that.
"What time am I going on stage?"
I love that.
And then after the show, she's like, "Did I do good?" And I said, "Yeah, you did great." She goes, "Yeah, they're there to see me."
Good. I'm glad she knows
that. Well,
she's
got the Corrigan gene, so that's good.
I'm glad she knows that. But I know, like I do and so many do, I mean, you really do hold family the most important thing in life, right?
I am so blessed. I found my partner late in life. At 45 years old, when I met my wife, I didn't think a family was going to be possible for me. You know, my childhood trauma had turned into a lifetime of just, I couldn't seem to get it together. And once you tell that story over one too many, you know, first dates and stuff, it starts to get old. You start to sound like a broken record.
Yeah.
And all credit to my wife, because everything that's gone good in my life over these last 10, 12 years is because of her. We're expecting our third child.
Amazing.
She runs she runs Madame Zuzu's World. She's got a fashion line with her father, who's a very well-known, in fact, famed fashion designer. Of course, I have the wrestling company, National Wrestling Alliance. She helps run that, too. So we got a lot going on.
You do have a lot going on.
Again, and I say this to anybody who's happily married, which I count myself among you, none of this would be possible without my wife. I'm really good at my job, but past that, I'm a bit of a fool. So somehow she's got me to focus and be on the straight and narrow, not just with life, but like what really matters in life. And I say this with all humility as a fellow Chicagoan. When you've seen the world, when you've had the world at your feet, you've been on every TV show, magazine cover. I mean, when you've done it all and you don't find happiness, it's a really weird, haunting feeling because you think, like, shouldn't
where
this be?
Is it?
Yeah, where is it?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you read all the apocryphal stories about people who go crazy because they can't understand, well, why can I have all this, but I can't have that?
Right.
And, you know, I would walk down the street and see happy people, and I think, why can't I have that?
I know. Yeah.
And eventually I found someone who understood me and loved me for who I was and not because of who I was, which, of course, is a part of me. And that's just, it's been a miraculous midlife conversion for me. And so all power to her and God, and I'm just so grateful.
I love that. Absolutely great. Billy's Bozo the Clown Weekend event at Madame Zuzu's, Highland Park, Friday, October 18th through Sunday the 20th. For tickets and more information, visit madamezuzus.com. Thank you for hanging out in studio.
Oh, awesome. I'll talk Bozo anytime.
I know you will.
And we're on GN.
And hello.
Talking Bozo on WGN.
Exactly.
And what, 23 years after the last show?
Yeah.
Okay, Bozo still matters, right?
It does matter.
So you and I understand this is a big deal right here.
It really is. Great having you.
Thanks. You.